Welcome back to Stand-Up Comedy Secrets for Beginners. I'm Ron Temple, and I'm here again with leading stand-up comedy expert Steve Roy. Steve, we had a great beginning last week, and we have so much more to cover during this series. So let's get started. What's the biggest obstacle new comedians face?
I would say that hands down, the biggest obstacle that any comedian faces, whether they're brand new to stand-up comedy or they've been doing it for a while, is writing stand-up comedy material that actually gets laughs on stage. And I'm not talking about small laughs. I'm talking about big laughs on stage. It's just such an obstacle. Now, before I go down that road, I want to ask you some questions about what we talked about in the last episode.
Okay.
All right. So here we go. You had talked about how you were able to get on a roll in a classroom with students. You'd get on a topic, and then you'd just start making the laughter happen. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's accurate.
Okay. Now, did you write out word for word exactly what you were going to say before you ever went into that classroom?
No.
You didn't? You didn't write it out word for word?
No, I have a hard time reading word for word, so I sure don't write it down.
Okay. That's very good. Let me ask you another question. Same question. When you were in a casual conversation with a group of people, a group of friends, family members, there's three or four of you standing around, and you were able to get on a roll, did you write out what you were going to say before you ever hit that conversation?
No. No, in fact, pulling out notes probably would have gotten me kicked out of the conversation.
Well, okay. All right. Fair enough. Now, another question. Was it just the literal words that you used that caused the laughter to happen when you got on a roll? And I don't care if it's in the classroom or in a casual conversation.
Oh, no. No. In fact, I think the funniest bits are the ones that don't have words. It's just me.
Well, so what you're saying is there's a lot more to what makes you funny than just the literal words that you say.
Yeah, the face, pretty funny looking, you know.
Well,
my own personal prop.
Well, I can't help it if you need lifestyle lift. Now, so here's my last question. Just knowing what you know or what you perceive about stand-up comedy, how does a comedian develop their stand-up comedy material based on what you know now?
From our series or what I know because of what I thought I knew before?
Okay, from what you knew before.
From what I knew before, you know, you've educated me a bit, so I can't even understand I believe this, but almost everything about humor was joke writing. Write the joke. Create the punchline. Deliver the punchline. Write the joke.
But can you be more specific about this whole write the joke thing that you're talking about right now?
Yeah, well, and I've even tried it, to actually write out what was going to be funny. And I was rarely funny ever writing out what I was going to say or putting it into words. So much of what my humor became, and I realized pretty quickly, was my humor really was coming from me, not from what I thought I should say or what I had written down. Because I tried it. I mean, I'd bring a topic in that was humorous, and I'd get a laugh, and I'd make a note, and I'd journal it, and then I'd try to improve it, and then anytime I ever tried to improve it, writing it down, getting ready for that next class, it bombed, you know, and I realized this writing thing wasn't working for me.
Well, but you bring up a really good thing, a really good issue. Let me just put this another way. Let me ask you this question.
You said that was the last one. All right, one more. Okay.
Okay, I have one more question. You were able to get on a roll in a classroom, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Were you able to get on a roll with the same material with a different group of students?
Yeah.
I mean, you told them the same story or you told them the same anecdote or whatever.
Right, yeah. In fact, I have a few that work really well, and it doesn't matter the group or the group size or anything. It just kind of works.
And you used them over and over again.
I did.
That's my point. And you did this, again, without writing out word for word.
Yeah. No. In fact, it's just a bullet point in my lecture. You know, if I get an opportunity when this comes up, you ought to bring this up, you know, so.
Let me just say this. What we've been talking about right now is the foundation for one of the biggest problems in stand-up comedy. And it has to do with what people perceive as the way, the method, the process of developing stand-up comedy material. It's all about this writing jokes from a blank piece of paper. So let me just give you I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm going to use an example that illustrates what most people believe about writing stand-up comedy material. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's assume for a minute that you wanted to become a pole vaulter. You've seen it on TV, looks pretty exciting. Yeah, you take that pole, you stick it in the hole, you go over the bar. I mean, it just looks very exciting. So you want to do this. So you go out and you find a pole vaulting coach, and you go up to that coach and you go, look, I want a pole vault. So I want you to teach me how. I'm motivated. I'm ready to go. And he goes, okay, here's what you do. You're going to have to run down this track as fast as you can. You're going to have to put the device that I give you into the hole, and then you're going to have to vault yourself over that bar. Sounds pretty simple, right?
Yeah. Okay. Into that thing.
So I hand you a golf club, and I go, run down there and stick that in the hole and vault yourself over the bar.
Golf club.
Yeah, a golf club. And you go down there, and you go, okay. And you don't know any better, and you stick it in the hole, and you can't even get anywhere. You can't get anywhere near the bar. And you do this over and over and over again. And you go back to the coach and go, look, this isn't working. I need something better here. And the coach looks at you and says, just run faster.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want you to identify for me, what is the problem with this process that I have just identified?
The golf club?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. It's not the right implement. You need a vaulting pole. You don't need a golf club. And here's the problem.
Well, aren't they both athletic equipment, though?
They're both athletic equipment. That's right. They both have some length to them.
Okay.
They're both used by professionals. So they're exactly the same, right?
No.
Well, okay. But here's the thing. The problems with writing stand-up comedy material, as people believe it, they don't understand that writing, the way we've been taught to write from grade one to whatever grade people got out of, is a completely different form of communication than talking. I mean, let's think about this for a minute. Writing, when we write something, it's for a reader, correct?
Correct.
And the only thing we have to work with in writing is the words. Just words, and those words form sentences, and that's what we have, correct?
Right.
Okay. As a matter of fact, in writing for a reader, the only emotional values that you have is a question mark or an exclamation point. Outside of that, there's not really much in between. I mean, you got a period, okay, that's great, but there's no emotion there. So here's the major problem immediately with writing is because there's only words and sentences involved, many more words are required to make the information you're trying to convey understandable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, a novel that I really enjoy reading has a lot of explanation, has to paint the picture for me most times so that I can enjoy the book. How would that be different, though, in when I'm standing in front of an audience that I want to paint a picture for?
Well, here's the thing. Talking, speaking, verbal communication, however you want to put it, involves much more than just words and sentences. I mean, you've got gestures, facial expressions, your eyebrows move, how you cock your head, the hand gestures that you use, the voice inflections that you use, allows you to use more than just words to get a reaction from other people. Can you see what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, it's exactly what I was saying a minute ago. It was that a lot of my best stuff is just me standing staring at back at the audience. It seems to work pretty well.
Well, I want to drive home a point here that writing is a whole different form of communication than talking. Talking involves a symphony of things that happen at the same time. It's not just words. I mean, if it was just words, that means that you could stand in front of your classroom with your hands to your side the whole time. In a monotone voice, you could do your quote-unquote comedy material, and the students would just roll out of their chairs.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Well, that's never going to work. As a matter of fact, you know, students will report you for needing medication. If you
or
did
that you're on medication.
Oh, man, or like he's taking something. He's coming in drunk. I don't know what the deal is, but you're not going to believe how he teaches these classes. So no, you've got to understand that there's a difference between writing and talking. And if you don't get that, you're going to have a really, really, really hard time in stand-up comedy.
But everything that I've looked at as far as a lot of the material out there that teaches stand-up comedy is write jokes. And you're basically... Are you basically saying that's not how you go about this?
Let me say that there is a huge difference between writing the way we've been taught to write for a reader and writing down and structuring what you want to say and express to an audience. I mean, think of it this way. You're a comedian. You need to go on stage. You need to know what you're going to say, when you're going to say it, and how you're going to say it. Well, you can't see words and sentences leave your mouth as they come out. I mean, if you can do that, well, there's medicine for that now.
Or you've taken medicine.
Well, or yes, you went the overconsumption route on the medication thing. But I'm just saying, so one of the big questions is are you saying that you shouldn't write your stand-up comedy material down? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I mean, how are you going to edit? How are you going to adjust? How are you going to delete what it is you want to say and express to an audience if it's not written down?
All right, so there is a writing preparation, but you're not word for word, is basically.
Well, I'm just going to tell you that this whole concept of writing stand-up comedy material is taken out completely out of context. Completely out of context. There's much more involved than just words if you're going to get the laughter response you want to get ahead in this business. And like I said before, that's 4 to 6 laughs per minute. And I'm talking good laughs. I'm not talking about, you know, a sneeze and 2 coughs.
Well, and I say that, and then the idea of writing also, I think there's something in our culture that believes that comedy is basically written. I mean, we know that, you know, some of famous comedians, Bob Hope, Johnny Carson, you know, they had writers. Is that different?
Well, professional comedy writers don't just work with words, and that's what a lot of people don't know. So you got to understand, I'm dealing with, I'm appealing to people who are looking to take a shot at stand-up comedy, or they're new to stand-up comedy, and they want to make an impact, and they want to do it quick. They don't want to spend months and years sucking. I'm just telling you, the fastest path to sucking is to try to write in a form of communication that's designed for a reader when you need to be working with a form of communication that's designed for an observer.
Ah, so there's and that's the secret. Let's go back to the whole thing, stand-up comedy secrets for beginners. That's the secret, you've got to bring in all your skills and talent. You may need to prep, you may need to write, but you really need to understand that you are doing this for somebody's entertainment, somebody that's watching, not reading.
That's exactly right. And that is something that is not even touched upon in anybody else's stuff that's out there on stand-up comedy. It's all about the writing, man. You know, write jokes. Write joke after joke after joke. You throw them on the wall. You hope that they stick or hope that one works. I'm just going to tell you, in stand-up comedy, there are 3 words you do not want to use, and that's wish, luck, and hope.
All right, so and that's life in a lot of respects. So you're bringing in the business aspect of comedy now. I take it, because when you start wish and hoping, you know, then you're going to be unprepared and life's going to change.
Well, you're not going to get it. I have never been in front of, or excuse me, I've never been in an audience where a military commander, a military leader, got up in front of everybody and said, I wish, hope, or
pray.
You got luck when this happens. No one's ever done that.
Yeah, that's what I said. So we're talking the aspect of successful people aren't out there hoping, wishing, and believe they're lucky. They help design their future. Same thing.
I'm just telling you right now, if an individual listening to this thinks that you can write stuff down on a piece of paper and somehow it's going to be magically funny on stage, I wish you the best of luck, because that's all you're working with.
Well, you've had some experience with this. We talked a little bit about this last week, but you had some experience with this. You were writing jokes.
No, that's what all the books said. That's what all the comedians I talked to talked about writing. And it's like, you know, you got to write 50 jokes a day. Well, that 50 jokes a day crap, man, somebody needs to put a squish on that. I couldn't write 50 jokes a day. I couldn't even begin to start on that. Now, as far as producing quantities of stand-up comedy material that will work on stage, oh, I can do that all day long. But that's different than trying to write one joke at a time in a way that's designed for a reader. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's just two different things, but it hasn't been picked up on by the so-called stand-up comedy experts out there.
No, and we know that. I think we know that in multiple examples of individuals that get up and say it took them forever to become stand-up comics because it took them a long time to figure out that one probably secret is if all they were taught to do was write, and all they did was bomb, they got out of the business, or they figured out that that's not how you do it.
Well, let's take a look at this from a different perspective. It doesn't matter if you've been doing stand-up comedy all week or you've been doing it for 10 years. Every single comedian gets the same 60 seconds each minute they're on stage. I Googled that. It's still up to date.
60 seconds is in a, there's 60 seconds in a minute?
Yes, and I've confirmed that on Google.
Okay.
Well, which everything on Google is true. So it doesn't matter if you're doing 3 minutes or you're doing an hour. Every minute that a comedian is on stage, there's 60 seconds to make whatever impact they're going to make. So think about this. I keep talking about this 4 to 6 laughs per minute. That doesn't give you much time to set up and provide a punchline to get 4 to 6 laughs per minute unless you know what you're doing. And writing jokes out one at a time or writing jokes the way you think a reader's going to perceive them is absolutely the worst way to go. Because like I said, we're dealing with more than just words. When you're writing, it's all just words. So you're going to write before you get to the punchline. Well, by the time you've done that, you're only getting one, maybe none, as far as laughs goes. Well, that's called bombing. That's called sucking. That's called public embarrassment. Wah, wah.
Been there, seen that. Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about comedy open mic nights here as we move along, but boy, I'll tell you what, yeah, that's a train wreck ready to watch right there.
And I've seen it crash. All right. You evidently can bring this home. How? Give me an example. How can we relate this?
Well, I can just tell you right now that the conventional, what I call the conventional approach to stand-up comedy writing, I can tell you where it fails, and it kind of works like this. Imagine that you like cake, and I know you like cake already.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen my waist or what?
Yeah. Well, and I'm just saying, you like cake, and so you want to learn how to bake a cake. So you go to a class to learn how to bake a cake, and here's what they do. They hold up the ingredients. They go, this is an egg, and this comes from a chicken, and this is some flour, and this comes from wheat. And they hold up, this is some milk, and this comes from cows. And this is some sugar, and it comes from Hawaii, or whatever the deal is. And they give you all these things, and they give you a definition of each of these things. Flour, grain that's consumed in mashed form, in breads, and chicken fried steak or whatever. Eggs, this is something that's consumed that you need to take the yolks out if you've got cholesterol problems. Blah, blah, blah. And they give you all these definitions for it. And then, so they've gone through all these definitions. You know each of the ingredients. And now they show you pictures of finished cakes. Here's a upside down cake. Here's a German chocolate cake. Here's a vanilla cake. Here's a banana cake. Here's a strawberry cake. And they show you all these finished cakes. And then they go, you've just completed the class. You need to go out there and bake you a delicious cake. Now, what's the problem with this?
Well, I guess There's no practical experience there. Zero.
Well, there's some...
I saw a picture of a cake. I should be able to make one.
There's some huge pieces missing. How much are the ingredients? I mean, that's a big one. What kind of utensils do you need? What kind of equipment do you need to work with this? There was no mention of an oven. There was no mention of a bowl. There was no mention of a spoon or anything. A spatula, a cooking pan, none of that kind of stuff. What about cooking temperatures and times? Would that be good to know?
Yeah, yeah. Culinary art of baking the cake, maybe?
I'm just saying, you know, how about how to make the frosting? I mean, we covered all the ingredients and we saw the finished product. What about the frosting? How do you do that frosting thing? What if you want to do a special curlicue on there? I mean, how do you do that? Because we saw that in examples.
Yeah, great pictures.
So here's my issue. Is there information missing from what I've just told you?
Well, as far as baking the cake, yes.
Dude, this is exactly how stand-up comedy education usually works. I'm giving you the same exact thing. And here's how it works. You give you the definition of a setup line. Setup line is the foundation for your punchline. Okay, there's the definition of that. What's a punchline? A punchline is the funny part of a joke that has a element of surprise at the end. What's a tagline? Tagline is another punchline following an initial punchline. Okay, and then I'm going to give you examples. Okay, so there you go. There's the basics. And then I'm going to give you examples of what other comedians did.
Pictures.
Well, that would be, you know, similar to the pictures of the cake, you know, the finished product. Here's the examples of the stand-up comedy material that these other comedians did. And then they cherry-pick one or two lines out of there. And you're supposed to be able to take that, and at the end of the class or end of the book or whatever it is, you go get them. You just go out there and kill them. Do you see the similarity between the cake example and the stand-up comedy example that I just provided?
Well, it sounds like comedy education is leaving out the equipment necessary to bake the cake. They don't have the oven, the bowl, the pan, the spoon.
Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, there's not a single comedy reference that I know of, comedy reference or class, that talks about getting 4 to 6 laughs per minute and how to do it. There's not one single one that talks about how long a joke should be. Now, one would think that if you got to get 4 to 6 laughs per minute, then you need to know how long a joke should be, don't you think?
Yeah, because we're back to that 60 seconds.
Well, you still have 60 seconds in a minute. That's right. Let me check that on Google one more time, because I just don't want to make any mistakes here.
Now, we said this last week, so I'll bring it back in this week. The 4 to 6 laughs a minute, that's consistent with really – top-notch comedians. They're getting that. That's how they're killing, right?
Well, let me just say this, and this is worth repeating. Don't believe what I'm saying. Go to YouTube, find multiple comedians that are popular with stand-up comedy clips where they're killing on stage, and just take a look at 5 or 6 examples, and simply push the start button. I mean, once you get past the advertisements. And then just count every minute. There's a counter right there on a YouTube console, and it just counts down. So just watch it, and then just count every time a laugh comes up during a stand-up comedian set. And that's nothing that I made up. This is no mystery here.
And let me tell the audience this. Steve told us this last week, and I did it. I pulled up some favorite comics, and I started to count their laughter, and what I found is I can never count their laughter. So this is not as easy as he says it is, because the really good comics, even on YouTube, I start giggling, laughing, whatever you want to call it, I forget to count. So I kept trying to get this. I was trying to, I think I saw it for the first 60 seconds. I think I got in there and I probably counted 4 or 5 or 6 laughs. But once they got on a roll, so was I. I was rolling. So I really had a hard time counting. So I just want to add that as a caution. If you want to do that and check it out, you know, find somebody that bombed and just count the 1 or 2 that they don't get. Because that, once you start laughing, it's pretty hard to count.
Yeah, I'm just saying for the comedians that are making headway in this business, And there's always going to be comedians making headway in this business. People moving up the chain and that kind of thing. You know, I'm not talking about people who are bombing on stage and trying to count their laughs. I'm talking about comedians who are really nailing it. I mean, just count how many laughs they get each minute that they're on stage. I want people to know that I'm just not making that up. That is something that I verified for my online course before YouTube was ever available to anybody.
I kind of remember that. And I didn't realize what the outcome was, which is nice to know that it's 46 laughs. And this is pretty consistent. You have really, as we know, this actually took you to a little greater area in life. You've been hailed as a comedy expert and you have a software that helps comedians figure this out. So we know that piece, and we'll talk more about that later. So this analogy, this ability to see and teach comedy is almost a gift that you have really worked hard to get, correct?
Well, it's just something that I worked out initially for myself. It's I didn't intend to share it with other people, much less sell it. That wasn't my goal. I just wanted to do well on stage for myself, and I just kind of came up with something that works across the board. But I will also tell you this, people who are hell-bent, for lack of a better term, on writing their material or writing jokes one at a time or writing anything from a blank piece of paper and expecting that stuff to work on stage, they don't need to get involved with any of my stuff. And I know that sounds, that doesn't sound very well, but I'm just saying, if you're stuck in this whole, I'm going to try to make writing work like talking works kind of mode, well, they're not going to do well with my stuff. I hope that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, because as an educator, we know, and if you don't know that, Steve was also an educator. Education, there's a rule. What's first learned is best learned. And you don't really learn anything again the second time. You learn it for the first time. And if I went in, and this is a problem that I actually had when I was trying to bring humor into my lectures, is that that's exactly what you get out there, is a whole lot of the way to do comedy is. And that becomes what's first learned. And it's difficult to hear what you're saying now, Steve, because that's not what I learned first. And until I realize that you're right, I'm wrong for thinking that, I don't change. So that's what I think that's what you're saying with the individuals that are already hell-bent, your word, that they are going to write their material and they're going to bring up that blank piece of paper and they're going to speak like they write. They're just going to take them off.
Let me just tell you this. You can always tell on stage when somebody's trying to speak their written material. Wah, wah. You can always tell. I mean, I can tell, and anybody who's watched other people can tell too. It's just, it's a train wreck. You don't have any chance of getting 4 laughs per minute, much less 6 or more laughs per minute.
They've been told that.
Well, and this is
when it's real hard to get out of that mode. I get that, because that's even I have to retrain myself quite often. And in my world, things change, and we know they change. Yet even I am resistant to that change sometimes. Even though I'm kind of pretty sure they're right, I'm going, wait, that's not what I was told.
Let me just tell you a little story. You were in the medical field for a long time.
I was.
Okay, me too. And you're familiar with the medical procedure known as bloodletting.
Very much so.
Okay, yeah, explain to the audience what bloodletting is.
Out with the bad, basically, is it. You take somebody, you decide they're ill, look at them, they're all white and peaked looking, and I'm going to drain their blood until they're better, And if you go just a little bit too far, they're not feeling any more pain. Yeah, that's bloodletting.
Well, see, now, here's what people don't know about bloodletting. Bloodletting lasted for over 2 millennia as a standard medical practice. It's only been since the late 1800s that was, somebody took a look at that and went, oh, you know what? There's a lot of people croaking from this. I wonder what that might be.
Yeah, our first president, George Washington, was believed to be bled out.
Yeah, yeah. They bled him right till the point where he didn't have to worry about anything.
Went right and saw Jesus.
Exactly. It's like, wow, we cured what he, you know, here's the good news and the bad news. We cured George Washington. The problem is now he's taking a dirt nap.
Sleeping forever.
Yeah. So, I mean, it took a long time. This was conventional wisdom. And I'm going to tell you right now, this nonsense about writing material in a way like you write a short story or a book report or something like that is the same thing in stand-up comedy.
It's bloodletting.
Oh, and it's just, and it continues today. And it's going to continue on beyond my death.
Here's what you said. You said something earlier that you said that you, even talking to other comics, they tell you to write. And do you think that's because that's just what they just wrote and wrote until all of a sudden they found themselves and figured out they didn't have to write? They could just make facial
expressions? Well, this goes very deep. I mean, an individual already has this preconceived idea that they need to write their stand-up comedy material the way they perceive writing to be. I mean, you take a look at the end of any stand-up comedy performance that says written by, and then it gives the name of the comedian, right?
Yes.
Okay. Comedians get on interviews and they talk about, well, yeah, I wrote that bit, I wrote this bit. And so people glom on to this writing thing. The problem is they don't understand. They take that out of context. And they try to apply what they know as writing, this pencil to paper or typing on a word processor. That's writing. That's designed for a reader. And I would tell anybody out there, if you think that your writing is hilarious, then get on Facebook. Get on Twitter. If you're such a hot writer, then you should be glomming tons and tons of visitors. You should get that viral explosion. You should make the bazillions of bucks. Now, why isn't that happening?
Well, I'm going to go back to bloodletting for a second. That's the spot that you hit. You know, if you believe that to a point that bloodletting is actually working, then of course you can't really make a mistake. You take out just enough and the person recovers because he had a virus and he's going to recover anyway. It worked. But if you take too much and they die, then he was so sick that bloodletting didn't help. So, and I think I see that with writing really well now, that they just get stuck, that they believe it so badly. I mean, and they went through it. They don't even realize, some of the comics don't even realize that they're not even doing that. They're not really writing. They are performing, and they're performing for an audience, and their written material is really nothing more than their preparation for that show.
Well, I asked you right at the beginning of this episode, I said, did you write out what you said word for word for word on your material that you already knew you could get on a roll with?
Right. No, but I did, just like others. I tried it. I can tell you that I have said, I'll tell you where I really blow this, you know, and this is me, is I speak, most of my lecture classes are 2 to 3 hours long. I mean, I can talk pretty much forever. And getting on that roll, the humor that I bring in, it's somewhat natural. It comes in, but if I get in front of a group of people for a speech, you know, a graduation, or I have to speak publicly on something I'm doing, I begin to develop this belief I have to be somebody else. And I write out the speech word for word, and I put in my jokes word for word, and I get up there, and I get in front of that microphone, and I start speaking, and one flub, one little slip, and all of that, the anxiety you have, you know, stage fright hits. And I am the worst speaker that ever got in front of a microphone. It happens to me regularly. And I think, knowing you, Steve, and knowing what I've learned, is my public speaking would actually improve knowing that I don't have to write it out, because every time I do it, bombs. It never works.
No, I hear you.
There's a couple other things that I'd like to get over that I've got a couple of questions on. And one of them is some of the writing stuff that we deal with, and especially in some of the stuff I've read, is there's this thing called a joke formula. What the heck is this joke formula?
Oh, man. Here we go. All right. This is another one of these quote-unquote writing techniques kind of things that just falls on its face. And if you understand what a joke formula is, then it's really easy to see why they're pretty much ineffective and why they're just another non viable way to try to produce stand-up comedy material that's going to work. Now, imagine this. If you went to the horse track and you watch a race and you see the horse that wins, do you know which horse won?
Yeah.
Okay, I know this sounds like a stupid question. You know which horse won
after it's not the one I have a ticket for. That's
I'm just saying you know which horse won after the race is done. Now, do they let you bet on the horse that won after the race?
You know, I would hope so.
there may be some places in Arkansas or Tennessee where you're able to do that. But I'm talking about for the bulk of the planet, you can't bet on the horse that won after it won. Okay. So what, I know this sounds so simplistic and people are going to go, what is this? What are they talking about? But here's the reality. A joke formula is nothing more than an after the fact recognition of what a comedian said that got a laugh. And it's lumped into some kind of category. Like, here's a comparison. This was like two peas in a pod. Or this is an exaggeration. Or this is whatever. But here's the problem with that. That's an after-the-fact recognition of what this comedian did after they already got the laugh. And none of that recognition includes any of the body language, the voice inflection and tone, the way he delivered or he or she delivered that material. None of that. It's just a after-the-fact grouping. It's kind of like if you were standing on the curve of a road and you can't see the cars coming and they come by and you go, car comes by and you go, that's a blue car. And then the next car comes by and you go, that's a white car. Does that help you in any way tell you what car is going to come around the corner next?
No.
No, it doesn't. But this is the big thing about this stupid joke formula thing and the whole comedy writing thing. The stuff that I've given in this episode, and people might not realize this, this is the foundation for most of what you get. Whether you go to a stand-up comedy class, you buy all the books out there, yada yada, this is representative of what you get. And they present this material as if it's actionable material. And the reality is there's no action to be taken. There's nothing that I've said about the conventional, quote-unquote, joke writing style that can help anybody produce their own original stand-up comedy material that's going to get 4 to 6 laughs per minute.
Well, I think you said something really important just then, and I think we went right past it. Well, I'm going to bring it back in. Actionable material. And I'm going to use the lotto. The lotto is the same thing. They're sure not going to let us pick the numbers afterwards.
Well, if you know where they're doing that at, dude, you can just give me a chat. Just slip me a chat, and I'll take care of it from there.
I was going to use actionable items for that, because what I would do, this is just kind of a stupid prank I used to pull and it was always fun, is right after the lotto, after the numbers came out, I'd get those numbers on a ticket. I'd give it to somebody. I'd go, I think I won. And they could look at the date and get all excited for me. And oh my God, you were just at $40 million, buddy. Actionable. Of course, if they wanted to, I'd let them go take it in and turn it in. See how well they do with it. but that's, it wasn't actionable. You can't do anything with that after the win thing. And I think that's what you're saying. But actionable. What are the items that they can action?
Well, you know, you can't go to a class on art appreciation where they give you the history of all the artists. They show you the different works that the artists did. Doesn't matter how detailed they go in to the artist and the different works that they did and how they were able to structure this thing. You can't take that information and go out and paint a picture.
I tried.
Well, yeah, okay, but you're in California. You get sucked into all kinds of stupid stuff like that.
And you should see my paintings.
Dude, I'm just going to tell you, I don't know anything about your paintings. I haven't seen them at all. But I'm going to tell you, there is a limited market for stick figure works.
Yeah, but I had some really cool sticks.
Yeah, I'll bet you did.
All right, actionable. Let's go back there. What we now know that writing is should be performed for preparation, but it's not. It's definitely not.
Well,
in comedy.
What I was saying is there's a difference between trying to write something from a blank piece of paper, trying to fabricate a funny premise, trying to fabricate a funny punchline out of thin air. There's a huge difference between that and writing down and structuring what you want to say and express to an audience. There's a huge, huge, huge difference.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit in one of our next episodes about tightening up the material. And that's where the preparation really comes in, correct? We're going to, you know, you write, but you're not writing word for word. You're not, you have to understand you, your personality, and so on.
But well, here's what I'm going to tell you right now. There's more to what makes an individual funny than just the words. And until someone recognizes that, they can't really use anything else except for the words. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I think that's the whole show today has really been about we've got to bring ourselves into it.
Well, it's kind of a crippling thing. If you're only using words and sentences, it's kind of a crippling thing for a comedian if you think about it. It would be no different than if I said, hey, you want to learn how to drive a car, and I handed you a steering wheel and said, okay, go for it. Now, steering wheel is an extremely vital part of a car. Would you agree? Can't really operate a vehicle, an automobile, without a steering wheel. Would you agree with that?
I agree.
But you're in for a heck of a time if you don't have the rest of the car to go along with the steering wheel.
Okay.
And that's what people are doing. That's what people are doing when they're trying to write stand-up comedy material. They're working with a steering wheel, which is an important part, but it's not even the biggest part of the whole game.
Well, and I let's bring another. I'll just bring in what I'm seeing right now. So, in other words, if writing your material works so well, I basically wouldn't even have to come on stage. I could stand backstage and just speak through a microphone, and I'd have people just dying and rolling around.
Dude, I used to say, and you know, one of the things that I've said for years now, I said, I'm going to tell you what, if it was all about the writing, comedy club owners would stick a robot out in the front of the people, and there'd be a guy on a keyboard in the back, and they would just load the written material and and the robot will go, hi, how are you? Whoop, whoop, whoop. Here we go. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Because think about that, man.
Robots are a lot cheaper.
Oh, dude.
They don't drink or eat.
Comedians would be out of a job. And then, you know, you'd have a guy in between the different acts go out there and throw a wig on the robot. And then it'd be, hi, my name is Susie. Yada, yada. You know, in a monotone voice, and the audience laughs, and they're paying, you know, $8 or $10 a drink. And there you go. I mean, think about that.
I'm in California. $8 or $10 a drink? That sounds pretty good.
Oh, I am so sorry about that. I mean.
We choose our path in life, don't we?
Well, I'm just saying that folks get stuck. They get severely stuck in this whole writing thing. They think they've got it dialed in. They've learned how to write in school. They went from grade 1 to grade 12, unless they live in Arkansas, you know, to learn how to write.
Two references to Arkansas.
Yeah, I love Arkansas because you know, it's not where I live in Kentucky, the land of many dentists.
we're going to have Kentucky calling us. Arkansas, that's a big goddamn state. My God. Okay. By the way, folks, just so you know that my mother was born in Oklahoma, raised in Texas. So just let's get that out there.
Oh, I'm originally from Texas, so, you know, I can make fun of that. Make no mistake.
I'm going to be real careful now because I really love the people in Arkansas.
Oh, dude, you're just doing that on purpose. I, you know what? I've never heard you say anything about people from Arkansas, and I want people to know that right now. He's never said anything kind about Arkansas. Okay? At least I'm just doing it in jest, but now he's being a pauper. Okay, you go right ahead.
Still love you, Arkansas.
And it continues to pander as we speak.
I need those states. Stop it.
Dude, you know, I told you I live in Kentucky. I've seen some amazing things here.
You just said you live in Kentucky, the land of many dentists.
Yeah, and I've seen some amazing things here. Man, dude, I was standing in line at a smoke shop. I told you this the other day. I was standing in line at a smoke shop, and a guy in front of me looks down on the counter where there's a box of cigars that says 50 cents, and he goes, "How much are those 50-cent cigars?" And the clerk behind the counter didn't miss a lick. Looked at him and went, "They're about 50 cents." And I was just like, wow, they've got well-trained customer service staff here.
We all do that, though.
Well, I'm just saying.
I mean, it's that guy that calls 411. That's what that 911 emergency number is.
Yeah, so. And you know, it's what's sad is there's only hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those calls every year. Because the people can't find the 11.
Well, there is no 11 on this.
Now, there's no 11 on this phone, and so I had to call. You know, I don't know, man. Okay.
Our own humor is going to get us.
Yeah, yeah. We went off track here. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, all fun and no work just makes for a great radio show, actually.
If you haven't realized this, Steven, I like Steve's humor. That's why I kept following him around. And he still cracks me up. Golly. All right.
Well, I'm going to kind of wrap this thing up with this. Trying to write in a vacuum stand-up comedy material that's actually going to get laughs is really, really the hard way to go. Especially when you think about the fact that there's more to the individual than just the words that they say. And when you're writing, that's all you're dealing with is just the stupid words. I mean, if you take stand-up comedy material that's properly formatted and you read it, it's not funny. There's very little that's funny.
Well, I think we know this, and here's another thing that the audience can try. When they're on YouTube and they find a bit that's really funny, go back and then transcribe it. Write it out. Take a minute of it. Write it out. Take the words and hand that to a friend.
Make sure that the person's name isn't on it.
Whoever
the comedian is, don't put their name on it. Just transcribe it out, hand it to the person, and wait for them to fall down laughing.
And try then to explain why you thought it was so funny. After they read it, they'll go, what? And then, really, they're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time explaining it. And then send them to the YouTube. And make them realize what they just saw. And that's really a test of funny. Because some of these comics, I swear they can just stare at you and you can't help but laugh.
Well, here's an amazing thing. You checked out my online course and you made a comment about that comedian where I transcribed his bit. You didn't know who it was. You looked at that thing and went, "There's nothing funny here." And then went to the next page, and what did you see?
Well, I saw the comic actually delivering the material, and I died. I couldn't believe that those words could be that funny. And it's the same thing I'm telling the audience. Try that. It's unbelievable how they can deliver something that seems so unfunny, written, and when you see them perform, you can't help but laugh.
Yeah, but that's because words on paper are nothing more than a map. Especially for the new comedian where you're trying to make an impact and do it in the shortest time possible, you need to be able to capture 100% of what makes you funny. Structure that to get 4 to 6 laughs per minute and know what you're doing after the fact in order to tighten that material. I mean, you know, again, I'm going to say this over and over again. I don't want to say that stand-up comedy is easy. But I can tell you what, it's a heck of a lot easier if you know what you're doing than if you don't really know what you're doing. And trying to pluck funny out of the air as if by magic, that's a hard row to hoe where I come from.
Well, I think we all do that. Public speaking, corporate gigs, I mean, you name it, we all try to just basically pluck it from the air. And when we bomb a few times, we realize it doesn't work. And usually what happens is we just throw it out of the material. what I have found just all by myself, you know, just what I have done in life is all of a sudden I get a laugh and I want to repeat that laugh is I pretty much try to do it the same way. And after, of course, you give the lecture over and over and you use that humor over and over, it becomes polished and you're tightened. You've tightened it up. Exactly that. So we will learn from our mistakes if we know we're making them.
Absolutely.
All right. So Steve, we've run out of time, but there's much more to come. So don't miss the next episode when we reveal more stand-up comedy secrets for beginners.